This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Friday, August 26, 2016. Coming up this hour.
The odds of a September rate hike jump ahead of comments from Fed Chair Janet Yellen in Jackson Hole later this morning.
Consumer confidence in the UK rebounds by the most in 3 years as Brexit fears fade.
Volkswagen strikes a deal with U.S. dealers that brings the total cost of its emissions scandal to more than $16 billion.
Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are trading pointed barbs at each other on Race and Prejudice, plus funerals begin today for the earthquake victims in Italy. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. The Mets bats explode, giving them the series in St. Louis. Yankees were off getting ready for Baltimore.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, they're a little changed to higher. S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up six, NASDAQ E-mini futures little changed. DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. The CAC in Paris little changed, so is the FTSE 100. The Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 0.2%. The yield 1.56%. The yield on the 2-year 0.77%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 14 cents to $47.19 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $4.60 to $13.29.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.12.90. The yen, 100.45.
Well, look at this. Bets on a September rate hike have jumped from 0 to 32% this morning. The move comes ahead of comments from Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen today at the Kansas City Fed's annual monetary policy symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Bloomberg's Michael McKee is there.
Just a few more hours to go for anxious participants in the bond market who are sitting, as one analyst put it, like a coiled spring waiting for Janet Yellen's verdict on the economy and monetary policy. Over the past couple of days, we've heard from a number of Fed officials, including Kansas City Fed's Esther George, the host of this conference, suggesting a rate increase could be just around the corner. George suggesting the U.S. economy needs one sooner rather than later. But what Janet Yellen thinks, that's the key for traders and for policy, and she has remained silent. Only two speeches so far this year, leaving traders in the dark about her intentions. The next question is, will the economy cooperate? So far, the data have been reasonably good. We get another jobs report, CPI report, and retail sales report before the next Fed meeting. So Yellen may want to sit this one out and just say, as she has previously, the Fed's data dependent, all meetings are live, and we'll wait and see. Michael McKee, Bloomberg, Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Thanks, Mike. You might want to plan out your morning. Chair Yellen speaks at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. We plan to bring you headlines from the text of her speech an hour earlier at 10 a.m. Also, tune in to Bloomberg Surveillance later this morning for several interviews with policymakers in Jackson Hole. Bloomberg's Michael McKee will be speaking to former chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, Glenn Hubbard, and Fed presidents James Bullard, Robert Kaplan, and Dennis Lockhart.
Equities in Asia finished the week lower today. Bloomberg First Word anchor Juliet Sally, or Bloomberg First Word Asia anchor Juliet Sally, reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, Asian markets declined on Friday ahead of Janet Yellen's speech, investors dumping risky assets on speculation the Fed chair would be hawkish. The regional index fell to a two-week low, Japanese equities leading the declines. That says the yen fluctuated during Asian trade after Japanese consumer prices fell more than expected. Prices have now fallen for five consecutive months. They were down 0.5% in July. The Nikkei closed lower by just over 1%. In China, the Shanghai Composite finished flat but posted its biggest weekly loss in 5 weeks. This on concern the government will take steps to cool speculative activity in financial markets. The Hang Seng rose, pairing a weekly loss. And in Australia, the ASX 200 had its biggest weekly loss since August 5th. Industrial and energy players leading the declines. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Radio, Hong Kong.
Juliet, thank you. Investors in Europe also awaiting today's comments from Chair Yellen. And the UK's latest data on consumer confidence is showing signs that Brexit fears are fading. Bloomberg's Caroline Hyde joins us live with more from our Berlin bureau. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Bob. Karen, yes, cautious trading in Europe ahead of Yellen's speech at Jackson Hole, with the Stock 600 currently trading just a tenth of a percent lower. Retail, media stocks, they're the underperformers. Miners, though, in the green, currently up more than 1.2% as metals rally. The FTSE 100 is an outperformer among indices, just clinging into the green at the moment. We're up just less than, well, 0.01%, but nevertheless, it's an outperformer, and that's as UK consumer confidence rebounded the most in more than 3 years, as the Brexit vote panic subsides and second quarter GDP growth comes in, as expected, at 0.6%. Stocks to watch for you include German Volkswagen, the carmaker gaining after resolving claims that US dealers will be reimbursed for losses caused by the emissions cheating scandal. Although this will set VW back another 1.2 billion euros, according to a person familiar with the situation. Brewer AB InBev is also climbing. That's after announcing plans to cut 5,500 jobs after acquiring SAB Miller as the world's largest brewer seeks to maximize savings from the acquisition. Bob, Karen.
Caroline Hyde, thank you. Here in the U.S., shares of GameStop fell 7.8% in late trading yesterday after posting second quarter sales that missed analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the details.
It was a tough quarter in which there were fewer new titles. GameStop went into the quarter, typically the year's slowest for video games, projecting a 4-7% decline in sales when newer stores are excluded, and they dropped a sharper 10.6%. The company is becoming a retailer of AT&T-branded mobile phones and services while emphasizing digital downloads and accessory sales in games. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And futures this morning, they're little change. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. The CAC in Paris is down 0.1%. The FTSE 100, little changed. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield 1.56%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.77%. And the 30-year yield is 2.25%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 19 cents to $47.14 a barrel. And coming up on Bloomberg, the first word, a check of the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. This hour of the first word is brought to you by Volvo Cars White Plains. Visit VolvoCarsWhitePlains.com. Prejudice and paranoia. Two of the campaign keywords from the past day. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that story and more. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump traded barbed attacks. Clinton accused Trump of unleashing the radical fringe within the Republican Party, including sticking to racial sentiment of hate groups. Clinton, speaking in Reno, Nevada, says Trump has built his campaign on prejudice and paranoia. Clinton also says Trump's recent outreach to black voters and pivots on immigration are an attempt to rebrand himself.
There's an old Mexican proverb that says, tell me with whom you walk, and I will tell you who you are. But we know who Trump is.
Just before Clinton's Nevada speech yesterday, Trump warned a crowd in Manchester, New Hampshire, that Clinton would try to accuse his campaign of being racist.
And she smears, and she paints decent Americans, you, as racists. She bullies voters who only want a better future.
Trump says people who want their country's border secured are not racist. At least 8 Turkish police officers are dead and 45 others were wounded after a car bomb exploded in southeast Turkey. Bloomberg's Simon Demokin has more from Istanbul.
A vehicle exploded at a checkpoint close to riot police headquarters in Cizre. Cizre has been the subject of several curfews in the past few months by Turkish authorities fighting Kurdish militant group, the PKK. Simon Demokin, Bloomberg Radio, Istanbul.
Another earthquake has struck central Italy. The 4.7 magnitude earthquake happened near Amatrice, one of the towns hardest hit by Wednesday's powerful pre-dawn quake. Wednesday's quake has killed at least 267 people. German Chancellor Angela Merkel will meet with Eastern European leaders in Warsaw today. Bloomberg's Tony Chuchka has more from Berlin.
It's all part of her effort to steer the EU's response to Brexit ahead of a special summit next month. In Estonia and Prague, she criticized Russia for its transgressions in Ukraine and was jeered by anti-immigration protesters, a reminder of the other crises facing the Union. Tony Chuchka, Bloomberg Radio, Berlin.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. And 6:09 on Wall Street is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Hey, good morning, Bob. The Mets got it going offensively in St. Louis. Jumping out to a 7-0 lead certainly helps.
And the 0-1 to Deaza hits a deep right field. Piscotty back at the track, at the wall. Gone, a home run. Alejandro Deaza, who hit a foul home run earlier in this game, has just unloaded with a 3-run homer into the Cardinals' bullpen in right field. And the Mets have opened up a 7-0 lead.
That's Mets radio as New York would pile on three more en route to a 10-6 win, and they would take the series at Busch Stadium. Seth Lugo earned his first win with the Mets. Five innings of scoreless baseball, scattering two hits. The Mets used six pitchers, picked up a game in the wild card race, too. They're just 3.5 out. They host Philadelphia tonight. Bartolo Colon entertains Adam Morgan. Yankees were off, gearing up for Baltimore after taking the series in Seattle. All eyes tonight will be on Gary Sanchez at the stadium as the rookie has 9 home runs in his first 19 games played since being called up. Giovanni Gallardo meets Luis Sessa. Out west, the Giants beat the Dodgers. Matt Moore was one out from a no-hitter. NFL preseason key injury in the NFC East as the Seahawks mauled the Cowboys and Tony Romo, who left with a back injury just a minute into the game. Jets and Giants play on Saturday. Jets right tackle Breno Giacomini is likely to miss the opener, battling back issues. Jets will have two new tackles on both sides when they open with Cincinnati. And Little League World Series, good luck to Endwell, New York. They battle Tennessee for the right to represent the U.S. versus the world. That's Saturday at 3:30. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Thanks, Rob Buschka. After fabricating details of a robbery at the Rio Olympics, embattled swimmer Ryan Lochte's sponsors have been dropping him left and right. Now he's nabbed a new one. Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drop says people should give the swimmer a second chance. So Lochte will appear in ads that say the company's products are forgiving on your throat. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg, the first word, brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from James Ludden at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Karen. Fed Chair Janet Yellen takes center stage in Jackson Hole this morning. Her speech comes as some of her colleagues push for another rate increase. In energy news, oil M&A is back. More than $11 billion of transactions were announced globally in July. That's the biggest total in any month this year. And the Wall Street Journal reports that Jose Canseco has found a new calling in financial analysis. The former juiced-up Major League Baseball player has already gotten it right on Brexit, and his recent success has traders turning to his Twitter page for insights into the BOJ's negative rate policy. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, thanks, James. And checking futures right now, they are a little changed. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 0.2%. The yield 1.56%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 17 cents. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, strong aftershocks rattled residents and rescue crews today in central Italy, as hopes begin to fade that the crews will find any more survivors from Wednesday's earthquake. The first funerals are scheduled for some of the 267 victims today. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump had pointed words at each other about racism. Clinton said Trump has unleashed the radical fringe within the Republican Party. Trump rejected Clinton's allegations and argued that Democrats have abandoned minority voters. In sports, the Mets downed the Cardinals. The Yankees had the night off. The Nationals beat the Orioles. The Red Sox lost, and the Giants won. And finally, from Daybreak, from the Bloomberg Terminal, file this one under, you didn't think this through, did you? A store in Moscow's airport thought it would be okay to sell replicas of AK-47s. According to the Sun, Bob, Kalashnikov, maker of the assault rifle, opened the store.
You're making this up.
I wish I was, but okay. I am not.
All right.
The Sun also reports the store also sells T-shirts that say I and then a picture of a heart. AK.
Okay.
I've got nothing. I'm Mike LaBarre. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And good morning, Bloomberg Intelligence, brought to you by CIT. From transportation to healthcare to manufacturing, CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work. And first off, we need to clear up some confused times for Janet Yellen's remarks this morning in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Here is the only time you need to know about that. She will be speaking today at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. That is 8 a.m. Mountain time, 10 a.m. Wall Street time. And Yelena Shilyeteva is senior U.S. economist for Bloomberg Intelligence. She joins us here at Bloomberg World Headquarters this morning to help us preview Yellen's appearance.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you. So today we have seen bets on a September rate hike jumping from 0 to 32%. What's your best guess about why the market would feel that way?
Well, I think the market is really anticipating that Janet Yellen will continue to talk about tightening this year. We heard quite a lot from her colleagues earlier in the coming in the weeks before that. We heard from her vice chair Stanley Fischer over the weekend, and it was a bit of a hawkish speech. Basically, they're trying to persuade the markets that they will continue tightening this year, albeit it might not be as early as September. We at Bloomberg Intelligence expect a rate hike at the December meeting.
And given that, would you expect that what Yellen has to say today is going to be very finely tuned, or will she try to kind of leave it fuzzy?
I think she's going to be very vague in a sense. She will clearly not say that the September meeting is off the table, but she will kind of vaguely probably suggest that it's not. She will clearly say it's data dependent. That's their favorite one. And basically, she will be the message, the general message will be that the tightening this year is still on the table. The title of the speech and the title of the whole conference is a little bit more forward looking, medium to longer term. She's going to talk about monetary policy toolkit and designing resilient monetary policy frameworks for the future. So that suggests that she's going to talk a little bit more about the medium term prospects for monetary policy. And that's going to be a tough task to persuade the markets that they will continue tightening more than just one hike a year. She will try to persuade the markets that they will go faster than just 25 basis points of tightening in future years.
Do you see anything in the economic fundamentals that calls for this tightening, this kind of urgency that some of these Fed officials have been talking about?
It's not urgent, but going forward, we are approaching full employment if we have already not done so. So we will see signs of wage pressures. And if the Phillips curve is still working, that's going to happen, at the end of this year, next year at some point. So we will have to see a little bit more of inflation, and that will push the Fed's hand.
And that can happen very fast in terms of wage inflation.
I don't think it's that urgent or it's going to happen really fast. But the trick here is to anticipate what's going to happen. Fed policy has to be preemptive, and they have to move before something happens, so that they need to forecast it actually right now and just talk about it.
You really do get the impression that it's tricky. Yelena Shilyeteva is senior U.S. economist for Bloomberg Intelligence. And Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. Yelena, thanks very much for joining us. And a reminder once again that Chair Yellen will be speaking at 10 a.m. this morning, Wall Street time, and we will bring you full coverage as that story develops. There will not be a live feed of the speech, but we will be covering the speech for you right here on Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg. And a reminder, Bloomberg's Michael McKee will be speaking to former chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, Glenn Hubbard, and Fed Presidents James Bullard, Robert Kaplan, and Dennis Lockhart. Join us for that coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app at Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Bets on a September rate hike have jumped this morning from 0 to 32%. The move comes ahead of comments from Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen today at the Kansas City Fed's annual monetary policy symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Her remarks come at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. We'll bring you headlines from the text of her speech at that time. And a correction from earlier in the program. We had originally reported she was speaking at 11. She is, in fact, speaking at 10. Also, tune into Bloomberg Surveillance later this morning for several interviews with policymakers in Jackson Hole. Bloomberg's Michael McKee will be speaking with former chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, Glenn Hubbard, and Fed Presidents James Bullard, Robert Kaplan, and Dennis Lockhart.
And this morning at 8:30 Wall Street time, the Commerce Department will issue revised data on second quarter GDP. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg forecast that the U.S. economy expanded at a 1.1% annual rate. That's a tenth of a percent lower than the initial reading. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has that story from the First Word desk.
Gross domestic product tracks the value of goods and services produced nationwide. In its preliminary report, the government said the economy expanded by just 1.2% at an annual rate in the second quarter. Businesses slimmed down inventories and remained wary of investing in plant and equipment. There was a bright spot. Consumer spending registered the largest increase since the end of 2014. At the Bloomberg First Word desk, I'm Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
Volkswagen's agreement with more than 650 U.S. auto dealerships, according to a person familiar with the matter, will cost the carmaker $1.2 billion. VW will buy back vehicles from the dealerships to offset losses caused by its diesel cheating scheme. The deal raises Volkswagen's costs tied to the emissions scandal to $16.5 billion.
And the world's biggest pension fund posted a $52 billion loss in the second quarter. Japan's government pension investment lost 3.9% of its value as the yen surged and stocks tumbled. The loss wipes out all gains made since October of 2014 when the fund decided to put half of its assets into equities.
And the Volatility Index Report is brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomes, VIX. And the VIX rose 1.3% yesterday to close at 1363. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are higher by less than a tenth of 1% to 1364. And that's this morning's Volatility Report. And that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest from the campaign trail from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The two major presidential candidates are accusing each other of racial bias. A day after Donald Trump labeled Hillary Clinton a bigot, Clinton yesterday said Trump has unleashed the radical fringe within the Republican Party, including white supremacists.
This is someone who retweets white supremacists online, like the user who goes by the name White Genocide TM. Trump took this fringe bigot with a few dozen followers and spread his message to 11 million people.
Clinton spoke in Reno, Nevada yesterday. Meanwhile, Trump earlier in the day told a rally in Manchester, New Hampshire, Clinton is a bully for smearing his supporters as racists because they have been following his call for a wall between the U.S. and the Mexican border.
If you want to have strong borders so that people come into our country, but they come in legally through a legal process, that doesn't make you a racist. It makes you smart. It makes you an American.
Trump also argued that Democrats have abandoned minority voters. Police are trying to solve the murders of two nuns who were killed in a home robbery in Mississippi. Sister Paula Merrill, who was 68, was killed along with Sister Margaret Held, also 68, in their home in Durant. The sisters worked with patients who could not afford medical care. Police say the car belonging to the nuns has been recovered. So far, there are no arrests. The first funerals will be held today for some of those killed in this week's earthquake in central Italy. At least 267 people were killed as aftershocks have rattled the region. A car bombing attack in southeast Turkey has killed at least 8 police officers and wounded 45 others. It happened at a police checkpoint. There wasn't much drama in the first day of Brazil President Dilma Rousseff's impeachment trial. Bloomberg's Anna Edgerton reports from Brazil.
It took Brazil's Senate more than 15 hours to hear two witnesses. With 6 more to go, this part of the trial could stretch into the weekend. Rousseff will present her own defense Monday, and members of her Workers' Party say former President Lula will also go to the Senate to show solidarity. Anna Edgerton, Bloomberg Radio, Brasilia.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. That brings us to 6:35 on Wall Street. And now with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Hey, good morning, Bob. There's still plenty of time left in the season for the Mets. They split a series with the Giants before taking one in St. Louis.
The 1-1 to the right hand, hitting Rosario. Hit on the ground to second. This should end it. Flores up with it. Throws to first. Put it in the books. The Mets win a game they absolutely had to have. They take 2 out of 3 here in St. Louis and remain very much in the conversation for that second wild card spot in the National League.
Mets radio on the call as the Mets used 6 pitchers and Seth Lugo earned his first win in blue and orange, hurling 5 scoreless innings. 10-6, final score, 5 Mets with multi-hit games, including first baseman James Loney, who went 3 for 5. The Mets return to Citi Field when they welcome the Phillies. Tonight, Adam Morgan takes on Bartolo Colon. New York is 3.5 out in the wild card. Yankees and their rookie phenom catcher Gary Sanchez will play host to Baltimore. Sanchez has 9 homers in his first 19 games. Luis Sessa hosts Giovanni Gallardo. Giants beat the Dodgers out west. Matt Moore lost a no-hitter with 1 out to go. NFL preseason week 3, where the starters logged the most time, unless you're the Cowboys' Tony Romo. As Dallas and Romo were roughed up in Seattle's, Cliff Avril got to him and knocked him out just a minute into the game with a back injury. Jets, they host the Giants on Saturday night. Jets tackle Breno Giacomini should miss the opener against Cincinnati with a bad back. And good luck with the Little League World Series. Endwell, New York plays Tennessee Saturday at 3:30. The winner to represent the U.S. in the World Championships from Williamsport. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thanks. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
If you eat maple syrup, chances are it came from Quebec. Last year, the province generated almost 70% of the world's supply. Quebec has noticed the bargaining power this creates. In 2004, the Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers, a government-sanctioned cartel, began a quota system, regulating supply and preventing anybody in Quebec from selling maple syrup to anyone other than the Federation. On the face of it, that's a bad idea. Look a little deeper, and it's still a bad idea. When producers collude to increase prices by limiting output, consumers almost always suffer. More cartels, whether they control oil, diamonds, cheese, curds, or whatever else, exist mainly to transfer wealth from buyers to sellers. That's not something governments should be helping producers to do. The Syrup Federation says it merely stabilizes prices in an especially volatile industry. It's true that prices haven't surged since the quota system took effect, but without it, higher production might have pushed prices lower, and the black market might not have formed. Quebec's government is urging the cartel to relax its restrictions. It would be better to let it dissolve altogether, like clumps of maple candy in a hot cup of tea. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Democrats are looking at possibly taking back control of the Senate after the November elections. And that would mean shifting roles on influential committees like appropriations. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom on who may benefit by a shift in power.
it's a bit of a chess match because the Democrat in line for the chairmanship would be Senator Barbara Mikulski, who is retiring. Those next in line, Patrick Leahy and Patty Murray, hold other chairmanships they might not want to relinquish. So Bloomberg BNA's Nancy Ognanovich says that leaves Dick Durbin.
He's not the top Democrat on any other committees. He's an appropriator from his service in the House. He was on House Appropriations, and he's the top Democrat on the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense.
Senator Richard Shelby would likely become the ranking Republican again if Democrats retake the Senate. While the prestige of these positions has faded, Ognanovich says they still hold some power.
They still find ways to use their subcommittee chairmanships and ranking member posts to direct money home.
Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. China's Postal Savings Bank is one step closer to the biggest initial public offering of the year. According to people familiar with the matter, the Hong Kong Exchange has given its approval for an IPO that could raise about $8 billion. Postal Savings Bank plans to start gauging investor demand for the IPO next month. And Apple's developing a new iPhone feature for commuters in Japan. It will let customers pay for their bus and train rides with their smartphones instead of using actual payment cards. According to people familiar with the matter, the iPhone will use mobile tap-to-pay technology developed by Sony. S&P E-mini futures at this hour are unchanged, literally unchanged. This is Bloomberg. The First Word brought to you by Maserati of Morris County. Get behind the wheel of an all-new Maserati Ghibli SQ4. Why go just anywhere when you can shop like a celebrity at Maserati of Morris County? Visit MaseratiMC.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by the ETF Exchange 16, BNY Mellon's annual ETF symposium, September 19th to the 21st in Dana Point, California. A must-attend for RIA. Space is limited, so register now at bnymellon.com/ETF. And futures, they are little change this morning ahead of comments by Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve Chairman. Before that, we go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here is Ed Lalonde. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Futures are quiet today. Dow futures down 3 points, S&P little changed, and NASDAQ falls too. U.S. 10-year yield at 1.56%. Asian markets were mixed over the night, with the Nikkei losing 1.2%, while European markets are mostly lower this morning as the banks lose 0.3%. Back in the U.S., on the economic front, at 8:30, we get a second reading for last quarter's GDP. And at 10 a.m., all eyes, of course, on Janet Yellen and Jackson Hole. After the bell last night, Splunk second quarter billings miss estimates, shares down 7% after market. Regarding earnings this morning, Big Lots comp sales miss, boosts outlook. In other news, VW's dealer accord said to add $1.2 billion to scandal costs. Icon said to have discussed selling Herbalife stake, Wall Street Journal says. Japan's government pension fund lost $52 billion in the quarter to June, and Target considering shifting its contract with Wellspun to rival Trident. Finally, some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Splunk cut to hold at Stifel, Toronto Dominion cut to neutral at CIBC, and at MKM Partners, Dollar Tree cut to neutral and Burlington raised to buy. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Ed Lalonde. Karen?
Thanks, Ed. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Japan's airline All Nippon Airways has started grounding Boeing 787 Dreamliner flights. The airline detected problems with their Rolls-Royce engines. A former pharmaceutical executive who ignited a fury of criticism about drug prices says he may testify before Congress on the matter brought about by the EpiPen controversy. Martin Shkreli, the former CEO of Turing Pharmaceuticals, says on Twitter that he has agreed to testify before a House committee on drug costs. Shkreli received sharp criticism after buying an old anti-parasitic drug and then raising the price from $13.50 to $750 a pill. In sports, the Mets down the Cardinals. The Yankees had the night off. The Nationals beat the Orioles. The Red Sox lost, and the Giants won. And finally, from Daybreak on our Bloomberg terminal, President Obama has given the U.S. National Park Service a big present for its 100th birthday. The president has created the world's largest protected marine area in his native Hawaii. Bob, he has quadrupled the size of a marine national monument on an uninhabited northwestern Hawaiian island to more than 580,000 square miles.
Okay, Michael, now I, too, have been taking a look at this Bloomberg Daybreak item, and it is spelled P-A-P-A-H-A-N-A-U-M-O-K-U-A-K-E. So I challenge you to pronounce
the name of the monument. I'm going for it, Bob. Okay. The name of the monument is Papahau Maukuakaya. It translates in English to hard to pronounce for a newsman.
You're Global better, News, better man than I am.
Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Obama visiting wounded service members at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center just outside D.C. in Bethesda, Maryland today. Vice President Joe Biden will be traveling to Wilmington, Delaware, and an Amtrak train station that was named after him back in 2011 to make an announcement on rail service investment. Also making news this morning is a story from Bloomberg's Bill Allison on the Democratic Party's use of, let's call it, a political donation workaround. Bill, good morning. Tell us what this is all about.
Well, this is about a way that the Hillary Clinton's, one of the committees that she uses to raise money for the party and state parties, is funneling donations that it receives. It gets these big $350,000 checks from big donors, sends them out to state parties around the country in non-battleground states, and then those state parties send the money back to the Democratic National Committee. Now, that sounds like a very strange thing to do, but the reason they're doing it is that they have donors who've given the maximum amount to the Democratic National Committee. They take part of those donors' checks. That's about $33,400. They take part of those donors' checks and send them to a state party in Indiana or Idaho or Wyoming at $10,000 apiece, and those parties send that money back to the DNC, and instead of having a donor giving $33,400 to the DNC, the donor actually ends up giving, $200,000, $100,000, $150,000, well over the limits that the law allows. But it's the thing about this is it's absolutely legal, because when a joint fundraising committee gives money to a state party, that counts against the donor's contribution limit. But state parties and the national party can transfer unlimited sums of money between each other, and they don't consider where that money comes from. So in essence, the DNC is able to legally collect money far over the limits of what an individual donor could give it. And what it allows them to do is use much more of the big donations from their biggest donors in Clinton's reelection effort.
Now, and this is just a loophole then.
It really comes about because of a 2014 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, because under the old system, before that ruling, an individual donor was limited in how much money they could give, and they could do, to parties, they could give about, $70,000, which changed every year as indexed for inflation. But once you take that limit away and they can write these huge checks, suddenly, when you start shipping money around the country, it actually adds up to a lot of money. Before, it would just be, $10,000, $20,000 beyond what you gave to a party, and it wasn't that significant. And since this change, it allows for parties to ship, hundreds of thousands of dollars back and forth between them.
Bloomberg's Bill Allison, thanks very much. It's a fascinating story, and you can read more about it on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal.
Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
If you're a budding entrepreneur and you don't mind sub-zero temperatures and sunless winters, maybe you should go north.
North to Alaska, go north for us is home.
Amid a years-long oil price slump, Alaska wants to diversify its economy and is now billing itself as the last frontier for entrepreneurs. The State Development Office is looking at shellfish, craft beer, and drones as fertile areas for expansion. And another idea is percolating in the cities. Alaska could become Silicon Valley's understudy. The logic is simple. Tech jobs can be done remotely and often provide services that don't require close proximity to a customer base.
Launch Alaska, a business accelerator started this year with the help of a Small Business Administration grant. The new program is providing funding to teams of entrepreneurs. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thanks, John Tucker. Now time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. A Pacific Northwest Indian tribe is traveling nearly 5,000 miles across Canada and the United States with a 22-foot-tall totem pole on a flatbed truck in a symbolic journey meant to galvanize opposition to fossil fuel infrastructure projects they believe will imperil native lands. The highly visible tours include tribal blessing ceremonies at each top. This is the fourth year the Lummi Nation in Northwest Washington has embarked on a totem journey to try to create a unified front among tribes across North America that are individually fighting plans for coal terminals and crude oil pipelines in their backyards. In North Dakota, for example, people from across the country and members of 60 tribes have gained international attention after gathering in opposition to the four-state Dakota Access Oil Pipeline. The totem pole heads to that site near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation next week. And that is the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Now 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. When Hillary Clinton's campaign said she would give a speech denouncing the alt-right, a lot of people asked, what's the alt-right? Its members call themselves alt to distinguish themselves from conservatives, whom they consider weak and out of touch. Uninterested in free markets and the Constitution, they are instead openly fixated on race. They believe in a natural racial hierarchy, one that is threatened by affirmative action and by Mexican immigration. They think Republicans should promote white racial consciousness to win elections. And they are fans of Donald Trump. Stephen Bannon, the new CEO of Trump's campaign, has aligned himself with the alt-right. That's why Clinton is attacking this previously marginal group. But Bannon says the alt-right isn't about race. It's just nationalist. Trump himself has never voiced hardcore alt-right views. He has been saying that he can win African-American votes and backing off his previous calls to deport all illegal immigrants. Perhaps he realizes that whites interested in white pride can't make a majority. He's still gotten closer to the alt-right than most politicians. His recent moves and Clinton's speech suggest that both candidates understand that the alt-right is a leaden anchor rather than a rising force. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or view Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard hourly weekday mornings. Karen.
Well, futures this morning are little changed to lower now, and this is as we await these comments from Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen, who will be speaking at the Kansas City Fed's annual monetary policy symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming at 10 today. That's 10 o'clock Wall Street time. Again, ahead of that, futures that'll change to lower, and the 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 1.56%. NYMEX crude oil is moving lower. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg, the first word, and Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead on Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg.